Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content.
Listener discretion is advised.
Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline.
1-800-LOVE-191.
Loveline starts now.
Hey everybody, it's Loveline. The number again, 1-800-LOVE-191. Tonight, no guests, just me and the love that blossoms amongst us all here. Tomorrow night, Danny Bonaducci. We got an amazing lineup coming back. I got to read this lineup too. Tomorrow night is Danny Bonaducci. Then Christian Finnegan, that's VH1, Best Week Ever, you know them. Then the following night, Fred Goss. He's the lead of Sons and Daughters, new show. Then we have two nights with Carson Daly. Makes his triumphant return here. This is the radio station where he began, one of them. Then Gregor Itzen, he plays the president on 24. And then Hawthorne Heights, Foo Fighters. No, I beg your pardon. Taylor Hawkins from the Foo Fighters, then Hawthorne Heights, then Seth Green, then Howie Mandel. I mean, it's going to be a very, very action-packed couple weeks here, and I'm looking forward to it. But tonight, it's just going to be us, and we'll be answering your questions. So give us a call. Once again, it's 1-800-LOVE-191. And as I've been doing the last couple nights, I'll keep monitoring the MySpace. If you go to MySpace, go to Groups, and then click on Loveline. We are watching for questions there. All your kind of goofy shout-outs and insults towards me will not make it on the air, but Gil will get a good laugh at him nonetheless. Engineer Gil's monitoring, and junior producer Lauren is also culling through some of your stuff, and they'll bring it in here. We'll talk about it on the air a little bit. This first, though, is John. John, what's up?
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good. What's happening?
You know, I heard your show weeks ago, and I'm so excited to get through. It's driving me crazy. I'm 31 years old, Damon Grow, it's like 24. Awesome, perfect. The only thing is that at night, right around, I don't know, once she falls asleep, she naturally gravitates her hands towards her groin, and then will masturbate while she's sleeping. And, you know, you do the swear test, you know, on things that she holds in high respects, and she's like, I had no idea. And it'll shake the bed. And it's not like moaning or anything like that, but then I put my hand like on her butt, and you could feel it pulse. You know,
what do you mean pulse?
Contractions, the Kegel muscles contract.
Oh, when she's having an orgasm.
Yeah, yeah. What is this? Is this BS?
No, it's not necessarily BS. I different people takes all kinds, John. The fact is that when people, men particularly, when they come out of comas, the first thing they start doing is touching around with themselves. And for some people, a wet dream includes self-stimulation. I mean, think about it. What's that?
Every night?
Well, every night's a little bit. I got to say, this is a little bit of, this is kind of out of the ordinary. And yeah. I would put it in the category of a sleep disturbance. I don't want to tell you that, geez, I've never heard of anything like this before. I have. There are even some people that will have sex in their sleep. And that, too, is a sleep disturbance. So
I don't see where the problem is. Where's the problem?
That as well. I've woken up to that. And the other part about it is I did some research on it. And I know that both male and female, if you have, you know, if you have to pee or you're having a sexual dream of nature. But this is like I'll wake her up and it has to deal with like school and everyday events that remind her of, you know, the adolescent time.
So she can tell you what she's dreaming about while she's doing this?
No, well, not while, right after. Like I'll wake
I understand.
Her up
and, yes, not while.
What's that?
It's kind of unusual that she'll be able to remember it every single time because that time of sleep is not usually a typical dreaming time.
Right.
So again, it to me it all smacks of something, some energy, you know, some trauma or something that sort of created a sleep disturbance.
Right when she's climaxing, John should whisper his name into her ear.
Well, I just found it interesting the fact that she would even, one, be able to climax. Two, she doesn't discharge anything from that. I mean, this is like a huge problem for a while.
Why?
And now it's just kind of one of those things where I hope to God I fall asleep first.
Why was it a huge problem?
What's that?
Why was it such a huge problem?
Well, I mean, think about that. I mean, if it's your girlfriend and she swears to God that you're not doing any, that she doesn't has no memory of doing this, and she is, and you like try to talk about it, they get defensive. And then also you look at your own, you know, introspective part about how, am I really satisfying her? Is she really lying to me? I mean, it enters in so much of the subconscious versus the physical versus, you know, the past that the realm of everything, the delicate
hey, Anderson.
Way that everything's tied together, it's just...
Yeah, he's lying.
I suddenly don't believe him. So we're gonna.
I had it all queued up.
Liar, whore, and you know it.
Yeah, it just is too pat there. These things do happen, Your reaction to it was more abnormal than the actual story you told, which was, leads me to believe this is maybe not true. But the reality is this is something that people have. They have sleep disturbances like this. It doesn't necessarily mean anything is grossly out of line with them, but I would look into it.
Because it's not a problem. I know guys that would pay for that.
Yeah, that's the point, is that the fact that he reacts so peculiarly to it is what's more troubling than not. John, what's up, buddy?
Hey there, quick question. I did something really stupid a few weeks ago, and I guess I just want to know what the bottom line is for, you know, oral sex, man to woman, you know, as far as HIV in particular.
What's the bottom line in terms of if you're the...
Yeah, so I went down on her, and, you know...
You're the oral E, oral-er, I guess?
The latter, yeah.
Fairly low risk.
Yeah.
But it's not zero.
It's a really stress over and get checked or what?
Well, was this person a prostitute?
No.
Was she an IV drug user?
No.
Did she have HIV?
I hope not.
Is there anything else? Is she in any other sort of risk category? Does she have sex with lots of people? Is she a stripper? Anything?
I don't know. I really barely knew her. So.
Well, and it was oral sex only?
Unprotected, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's a possible risk. You'd be more concerned about getting things like chlamydia and herpes, the sort of more routine kinds of conditions that you can get on your mouth just the way you can get anywhere else. People have a sort of misconception about these illnesses that somehow, you know, herpes 1 and type 2, for instance, that, you know, the 1 occurs in the mouth, the 2 occurs in the genitalia. It's simply not the case. They both occur in both places. Chlamydia can occur in the mouth. Chlamydia can occur in the eye, gonorrhea, mouth, eye. Anywhere there's a mucosal surface, these bacteria that cause STDs can get in. So I'd be more worried about that than HIV. And obviously go get tested, you know, use condoms.
How do you have oral sex, though, with somebody you barely know? I would think that sex would be easier. Was she wearing a skirt in a bar?
What, Pat?
John, how did you happen to have oral sex with somebody you barely knew? How did that go down?
What's that?
Tell us how that happened.
How did that? things happen when you have too many drinks, I guess.
So she was drunk?
I was.
You were drunk?
Yeah.
Was this a sexual assault?
Nope.
Was it in a bar? Was it at your house? Where did
Do you understand we're kind of confused? It's like somebody you don't know, all of a sudden you're having oral sex. How does that work?
Probably it was a one-night stand. I mean, it was hooked up, so...
So somebody you knew and spend the evening with?
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, it's
John's a very, very satisfying caller. Charisse, what's up?
Hi. I have been with my boyfriend for about 8 months, and he loves to give me oral sex, and I love that. I want to be able to do the same for him. And I don't really, mostly because I have a really sensitive gag reflex, and just, I don't know, I don't think it's because he's too big or anything else, because it's happened previously, but I want to be able to overcome that in some way and be able to, you know, give him the same pleasure that he's able to give me.
You mean the penis can't cross the plane of your lips? Is that what you're saying?
No, it can. It's just I can't, I just can't go...
You don't have to, Charisse. You don't need to.
Okay.
You don't. You just relax. As guys often say, you can't do that badly. Is he complaining?
No, he hasn't said anything. I don't feel like, you know, he goes down on me all the time, and I want to be able to, you know, at least give some of that back.
Why don't you? I'm confused.
Well, because, I mean, just the gag reflex, I mean, like in the back of my throat.
Yeah, but don't trigger that. Stay away from that area.
Okay.
You simply can't do that wrong. There's just nothing you can do other than using your teeth.
Okay.
Which is wrong.
If
this, and by the way, what's the fear in just bringing this up with him and saying, hey, what do you like? I have this thing.
No, I mean, I know that, you know, I've mentioned it before, and I don't think it's an issue for him. It's just, it's something that I think about on a periodic basis.
But there's something wrong with your thinking. In other words, you feel so insecure, or your esteem is so low, that even though you're doing this thing that he thinks is over the top, somehow you're convinced it's not good enough. And that's ridiculous.
Okay.
That is ridiculous. Come on, where did that come from?
Uh, I don't know. I mean, I've never really had strong self-esteem, and I've always had issues with it. So,
all right.
I guess that could be what it's from.
He is over the top. He's into you. He's there. He is so excited every time he's with you. Believe me, that's all he's thinking about.
Okay.
He's not. What he's not thinking is, oh, I wish she'd do this better. Oh, guess what? I'm always doing it. Why the hell isn't she? Believe me, guys will let you know.
Okay.
They will let you. If something's wrong, they will tell you. If they need something more, they will tell you. Men, I mean, this whole notion that women have that men have to figure it out or they, you know, unlock the mystery of the Orient and the male of the species. No, men tell you exactly what they want, and they put the pressure on, too. Are you kidding?
Okay. Yeah.
To me, the greatest nonsense in this area is the stuff in the women's magazines write about and searching for the male G-spot. Oh, we got to find that. No.
No, I'm not worried about
that. No, I know you're not doing that, Charisse. I understand that. But women's magazines spend thousands of pages waxing poetic about this issue, and there is not a guy on earth that, if they like that, isn't going to tell you about it and be very explicit and give you just a roadmap. The rest of them are not interested and do not want that, and just stop it. They'll tell you what they want. You know what a guy's thinking when you're having sex with them? It's like, oh, my God, I can't believe this is happening. This is the greatest thing ever. That's it. Gil, am I right? Wrong? Anderson? Is there anything else the guy's thinking?
No. Or he could be drunk and he could realize halfway through that he made a huge mistake.
Right. He could just not be thinking. Look, here's the deal. As I've said before, that I worked on some research.
But, Drew, you're a very passionate man, so I don't know if it really holds up.
Listen, I did some research on this with the functional MRI scans on men and women. And there's a guy named Stephen Hammond down at Emory University who said this very eloquently. He said, look, the male of the human species is like a box with a switch. That you don't need to figure anything out more than that. It's a box and a switch. You turn the switch on. It has a certain cadence to it. You turn it on, and that's it. That's the switch. Women, each woman, flight deck of a 747. And no two planes the same. Each airplane is completely different. And this is because of the genetics of male and female. Men have a Y chromosome. It is small. It's decaying or has decayed over years. And it's the same in all men. What makes a man is this small bit of information that's a very sort of simplistic set of biological functions, and it's the same in all men. In women, two large X chromosomes, tremendous diversity, each woman different, and lots of complexities. Clearly a better version of the human species. Alex, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, I just wanted to thank you for what you do, like, with the addictionologist.
That's cool. I appreciate that. You sound nervous, Alex. Relax. It's all good. It's all good. You okay?
Yeah.
Don't hyperventilate on me. You okay?
Yeah.
What's the matter?
My dad died of heroin overdose 2 years ago.
Oh, boy. When you were 11. That's got to have been tough. You okay?
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to thank you for helping others not have to go through what I have.
Do you have enough support in your life? Do you have people to talk to? Yeah. What do you do for support?
Go to my mom and stepdad.
Did you have much of a relationship with your dad?
Huh? Yeah.
Did you?
Uh-huh.
How long was he a heroin addict?
Since I was 8.
Oh, so he sort of came late in the game. It wasn't like he was a heroin addict for years and years?
No.
Well, here's the deal, Alex. You're going to grow up thinking you're always going to have this is sort of a typical thing that children of addicts and alcoholics do, particularly those that don't, is they harbor a fantasy that they should have been able to do something. They should have been able to save them in some way. You already feel that?
Because I saved his life once when I was 8.
Yeah. Here's the deal. You're 8, you're 10, you're 11. That is not your job.
Right.
You're at that point in your life. Big people take care of little people. The adults are there to take care of you, to give you what you need to develop and become an autonomous, separate person.
Right.
He had a bad, horrible, and as you now know, life-threatening disease.
Yeah.
Wasn't your fault. People like me spend our whole life trying to fight it. We can't fight it many times. So an 11-year-old is helpless against this, and that's what's so painful.
Yeah.
But it's healthier to sort of stay in touch with that reality, that I know you wish you could have done something, and it would have been different if only I had that kind of stuff. But that is not real.
Right.
And that's, unfortunately, the baggage that this disease puts on people.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you got a mom and a stepdad.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like you have the genetics. You don't have the disease? Yeah. And just keep lots of good people around. Keep a lot of friends around here. Get through school and go to college and have a good life.
Yep.
Is that your plan?
Yes.
What do you want to do?
I want to be a veterinarian when I grow up.
How old are you now?
13.
13. All right. All right, Alex, we'll keep it going, will you, buddy?
All right.
All right.
Okay,
thanks,
bye.
Thanks for the call. All right. Let's go stay with the drug calls. Jim, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, man?
Not much. This is where you talk. Here you go.
Oh, I'm on right now?
Yeah.
All right. Drew?
Yeah.
Just do it!
All right, check this out. I was just wondering, like, you know, since you're addiction medicine specialist, whatever, what do you think, like, about positive and negative side effects about snorting cocaine?
Positive and negatives?
Yeah.
If you're not an addict or if you are an addict?
No, casual recreational use.
If you're not an addict, which is something that you'd have to prove to me, well, Dr. Freud thought he'd found the first biological treatment for depression.
They thought
there were all kinds of very positive benefits of this drug. Now, since then, he actually saw one of his physician colleagues spin out and develop a cocaine psychosis, and that was where he sort of stood back and went, well, maybe this thing isn't all what I thought it was. And now we know, of course, it causes heart attacks and strokes and kidney failure. And it's not a safe drug, and and I'm sure you've heard this before, a single line can kill you, though it's usually the more heavy users that get the real serious medical consequences. So it's the kind of thing where it's a heavy risk, very little benefit. You know, it leaves the brain, it can destabilize mood disorders and bipolarity and that kind of thing. So there really isn't much from a health benefit standpoint for cocaine. I mean, it's a good anesthetic. We use it in eye surgeries and nose surgeries all the time. Okay?
Yeah, I mean, like that kid that just called, it sounds like, you know what I mean? Like, do you think, like, in the long run, maybe, like, using, like, a pharmaceutical like that would, like, be beneficial to him?
He's looking for something to move on from his weed.
No, I can tell. I can tell that's what he's looking for. The other thing they thought, that Freud and his colleagues had thought they'd found was a treatment for heroin addiction. Because when they gave all their heroin as cocaine, they weren't interested in the heroin anymore. They just went on with the cocaine. And then they died of cocaine addiction.
Yeah, I saw a movie where this guy was drinking too much and he was going crazy. And they medicinally just dripped a little bit of cocaine down the back of his throat.
Yeah, it's not medicinally, Jim. You're crossing over from one addiction to the other. And addiction is a potentially terminal illness. And the more addictive the drug, the more rapid the decline into serious, serious problems. Steven, what's up, buddy?
Yeah, I'm curious to see, you know, I kind of want to go and have a circumcision.
Great.
What's that?
Great. Why so late in the game?
You know, I never really had problems until recently. One time me and my wife were having sex and it got, you know, and it tore when I was pulling this foreskin back.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of curious to, can that lead to problems or anything being this old?
No, I mean, it's a surgery, but it's a pretty safe surgery. You're out of commission for a couple of weeks, and I'm not going to kid you, it's pretty painful. It's something the tearing and the stenosis you're talking about with the skin tears and the head comes down, the skin sort of tightens around the head. That's a reason to have a circumcision.
There's a lot of scar tissue there now. It's happened 4 or 5 times now.
Good times. Go get the circumcision. No big deal. You got to do it, all right?
Is that something that's considered like cosmetic or?
No, I think your insurance would even cover that. It's considered medical. Renee, what's up?
Hi, my name is Renee, and I'm calling from Orange. And my problem here is that when I have sex with my boyfriend, I can't have an orgasm unless I think of girls.
Nice.
And no, but this is really a problem because even when I use my vibrator, like if I think of guys, I get turned off, and like I won't climax unless I think of girls with like girls.
Yeesh.
And I don't think, I've never had sex with a girl, but, like, you know, I've made out with girls when I'm drunk at parties and whatever, but I've never really, like, been with a girl, and I don't know why I have this problem.
Did you fool around with friends or anything like that when you're, like, in first grade or kindergarten?
No.
You sure?
I'm positive.
And no sexual abuse?
No, not at all.
And no...
No, the only fooling around I did was, like, middle school with, like, my friends, and that was it, and I was, like, making out with them.
And no brutality by men? Men weren't sort of brutal to you in some way?
Yeah,
dad?
No, actually, I have a really chill dad.
You're a lesbian. Is it possible you're lesbian?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I really don't know.
Well, we'll have to see. My advice to you would be just cool out, just see what happens. Don't make any rush. You know, don't jump to anything. Don't declare a major.
It's been happening for the past 3 years.
It's suspicious.
I've been sexually active.
Well, we'll see. But yet you keep going with guys. Well, we'll see. Time will tell on this one. It's something that, you know, a lot of young women think about sexuality as the images of sexuality being women, just because that's sort of what's bears down on us, and men are just gross, let's face it. And so it can be sort of an arousing image. And again, if you look at the functional MRIs, that women looking at women, they get heavy arousal patterns in response to women.
So
while men
like
get
that.
Threat patterns, interestingly. What's that?
So it's nothing bad.
No, well, even no matter what, it's nothing bad. Just relax. Just let it be. Don't freak out. Don't panic.
You
want
to be ashamed of yourself.
Don't be ashamed of yourself. Don't declare a major just yet. Gil, anything on our MySpace there? He's still looking for questions. So again, Gil's culling through the MySpace. If you go to groups, click on Loveline. They're watching for you out there. Tawny, what's up?
Yes, I was calling. It's about my son. He's 18 months old. And he was diagnosed with epilepsy about a week before his first birthday.
Hmm.
And here he's had a few seizures, and we were able to get him stopped with the Tegretol, mm-hmm. I believe is what it's called, his medicine. Well, he started having them again. He had one about a month ago, and ever since then, I can't get him to sleep at night.
Uh-oh.
It's actually almost impossible to get him to sleep. I've called his physician, and he won't even really talk to me about it. He gave me an appointment for the end of the month.
Well, you need to see. Have you seen a neurologist, the child?
Yes, he has a neurologist and a pediatrician.
Did you call the neurologist?
Yes, I did. That's the one I called, and that's the one I have the appointment for.
The pediatrician too. I suspect there's something more here than just the seizures or the medication. Anything besides Tegretol he's on?
No, and they actually had him when I called the neurologist a little bit ago. They had me slowly start weaning him off the Tegretol.
Mm-hmm.
He's not completely off of it yet. We are going down by. By CC's, because that's what they've got.
Boring. Yeah, Tawny, it's not a neurology line here, unfortunately, but I don't know why he's not sleeping. It would take a long time to figure out what's going on here. The changes in the medication may have something to do with it, the withdrawal from the medications, but you call a pediatrician first thing in the morning in addition to the neurologist. Take one more call. Lori, what's happening?
Hey.
Hey.
How are you doing?
Good.
Great. I just had a quick question. When I was in elementary school, I said 5, but I think it might have been a little bit later than that. I woke up and my mother's husband was touching my sister inappropriately.
Great.
Yeah.
I hope he's dead. Is he dead now?
I had that freeze-up response. You know, I couldn't move at all.
It's like, right.
Yeah. I never really got therapy for it. I told my mom about it like a week later, and she just was kind of like, well, thanks for telling me.
Oof.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever talked about it since?
Not really in depth. You know, I told her a couple years back that, you know, you didn't do anything for me.
And what'd she say?
She was just like, I didn't, you know, you told me, and I thought that was okay.
Oh.
Not that the action was okay, but that me telling her was a good thing, and that's
all you needed?
Yeah.
It means your mom was abused too in some way, I bet.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. That was her fifth marriage.
Oh.
Yeah.
All of them abusers, right?
My dad was an alcoholic, so he wasn't actually physically abusive, but the alcohol thing was...
Where's my
too,
bourbon?
Too loaded to do the abusing. Oh, Lori, why don't you hang on 1 second here? I'm going to come back to you in just a minute. We're going to take a break here. The phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. We're going to go through some MySpace questions, and we'll be right back.
Excuse me?
Loveline's coming back in a minute.
Yo, don't go nowhere.
It's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191, and I was just looking over this MySpace site. It's kind of hard to find it. You have to go to groups, then you have to click on Loveline, and then I think people, first of all, people are asking some interesting questions, and then you guys are giving the worst effing advice back I've ever seen in my entire life. So if those of you are taking advice from your peers, just buyer beware. And then here's a question. I got a couple questions offline here. This is from Tara. Sex, does it mess with regularity of menstrual cycle even if there's no ejaculation? Also, does having a cold mess with your menstrual cycle or being sick in general or a period just naturally irregular? Answer, yes. Yes, periods are naturally irregular in some women. Yes, being sick and taking cold medication can affect your periods. Almost any of the wind blowing the wrong way can affect your period. And definitely sexual activity can in some women. In fact, some women will start their period, even if there's no ejaculation, just with sexual activity. And then this one, I was 17 to 20, took about 30 hits of X over a span of 3 years. 24, I have problems concentrating. Is this a result of my past X abuse? It could be. Anybody that used more than about 20 hits of ecstasy, I've noticed there tends to be long-term neurological symptoms. And the symptoms are very characteristic. It's usually short-term memory problems and mood instability associated with rather high levels of anxiety, even panic. The typical syndrome is someone who's out there rolling frequently, who all of a sudden doesn't want to go out anymore, and then starts isolating, and then starts sitting at home and having panic attacks, and then gets agoraphobia and doesn't want to go outside, and then gets really seriously depressed. So, Laura, let's finish up here. You woke up, your stepdad was touching your sister.
Yeah, and basically what I want to know is I have a five-year-old now, and as far as I can tell, she's doing fine, but I don't want to endanger her in any ways. And
right.
What kind of effect would have this had on, you know, like anyone? What typical responses, decision-making, altering, you know, anything like
you?
That?
Well, the sort of characteristic, that's a very complicated question, but the characteristic thing, the pattern that we see very frequently is that that experience of terror, even though it was only one time, may tend to cause you to gravitate towards people that are like that perpetrator. That will become highly arousing to you and very, very sort of stimulating, and you'll sort of see that as a high level of attraction. So be careful when you feel yourself super attracted to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Go for the guys that are a little less interesting, just a little less. And that freeze response you had, that can be kind of a dangerous phenomenon.
It's lessened over the year with the first boyfriend. Coincidentally, my daughter's father.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
What? What was?
He was terrible.
Of course.
And anytime that we would argue or anything, I couldn't react.
And again, there's more to this too, because you had the abandoning father and you had the crazy mom too. This is all those complex issues. But yes, you couldn't react because you dissociate. And that dissociative response is something mediated by a part of your nervous system called the parasympathetic nervous system. And that's what causes that shutdown. Mm-hmm. So you go, when you hit a situation that is overwhelming, you go from hyperstimulation and anxiety and high blood pressure and pulse to complete shutdown, because you're sort of preparing for the attack. Your body just prepares for it. And many people experience kind of out-of-body experiences. They sort of drift off. Did you have any of those sorts of experiences?
Think so. I can see, you know, when I think about things, I think about them kind of in a third person.
Right. It's, you know, again, like it's varying degrees of this. Some people, they completely dissociate and just don't even, you know, or they become another person. That's really where multiple personality disorder comes from. But it is something that you need to learn how not to allow to overwhelm your emotional systems when you are in an intense interpersonal setting, so you can come to your own defense, so you can interact and sort of be aware about things and have feelings and sort of more flexibly deal with circumstances that, in a more normal way. Okay?
All right.
And just watch about, be careful with the guys you bring around your five-year-old.
Yeah,
that's the most important thing.
I actually want to stay single for
that. Sounds like a plan. I'm up for that. Okay?
Thank you.
All right, good luck. This now is Billy. Billy, what's up?
Hi.
Hey.
I have a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
My husband, I don't know, I was told that he's been using crack cocaine, but he doesn't seem like he is, because my ex-husband, I actually put him in prison for doing a lot of bad things to me and noticed that he was doing crack. And
quite a life you're leading, Billy.
I'm sorry?
It's quite a life you're leading.
Hopefully not. Hopefully I'm not going down the same path.
Well, you're there. You said your previous husband was a crack addict, and now this guy's on crack.
Well, I'm not for sure.
No, somebody told her, Drew. Who told her?
Somebody that likes to get things started that is actually a crack addict himself.
She's like in the gossip crack circle there.
Right.
Yeah, but she's also,
and I think,
listen,
they're just trying to pull him in because the crack addict is my brother, and I think he wants to pull him in so he'll look bad. And my mom blames me for everything.
Does
the reason why my
too?
Brother's a crackhead and blah, blah, blah. But I was wanting to know if...
Oh, Billy, do you have to have that kind of drama around you all the time? Really? Drama?
I don't want drama.
I know, but that's around you constantly, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's your life, is one drama after another.
Right.
I'm looking at the my crystal ball, and I see, like, the Globe Theater. I see, like, Shakespeare. It's ridiculous. Yes. Okay, this is all the horrible, horrible trauma, the horrible chaos you came out from your family of origin, your drug-addicted dad, your drug-addicted mom. And God knows you've done your own share of drugs, yes?
Yes, actually, yes. I am not a druggie.
But you never did, have not done a lot of drugs in your time?
No.
Okay, well, that's
good. I don't even smoke. I mean, pot, I can't. No, I'm on nerve pills, that's all, because of everything.
What do you mean nerve pills? What are those?
Xanax is because I'm bipolar.
All right, well, Xanax is an addictive drug, okay? Now, maybe you're not an addict, but it's right. Highly suspicious. I smell addiction. My crystal ball says it, the big addiction sign above the Globe Theater here.
I only take what she tells me to. I don't overtake them or anything.
But do you have a therapist, too?
Yes. I've been going for years.
All right. So let's at least stay with that and try to keep things calm in your household. Maybe to go to some Al-Anon meetings, because you have a tendency to get involved with drug addicts. Bad boundaries, a lot of chaos. Do you have a borderline personality disorder? Has that ever been suggested?
Yeah.
So you're borderline, right?
Right.
Okay. Smell borderline. That's the other sign I saw over here above the Globe Theater. Bipolar, borderline, and I see drug addict too, Billy. So, look, how about a little codependency recovery, a little 12-step, one thing about being a borderline is you hit your 30s and 40s, things actually get better.
I hope so. I'm only 30.
I know. But the less chaos.
We have five kids.
Oh, that's just beautiful. I'm just imagining Norman Rockwell painting right now. I just am.
Painting.
Okay. So you know what it means to have a borderline personality disorder, right?
Yes, I do.
Why don't you describe so our listeners can share with that?
One minute you're okay, the next minute you're not?
That's part of it. And abandonment issues and lots of chaos and lots of drama.
Abandon, yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Drama.
Yeah, drama.
And I try to stay away from everybody so the drama doesn't come, but it just...
I commend you for following your doctor's orders. I commend you for seeing a therapist. I've seen 12-step go a long way to helping people with significant personality issues that sort of aren't making progress in therapy. Sometimes a little 12-step will support. There's a lot of people with personality issues in 12-step that it does well. They do well. So,
hey, Drew.
So, yeah.
I want to take a little trip down memory lane with you. I was just thinking of a call that we had years ago. I kind of woke up in the morning and I thought of it, and I hadn't thought of it in a long time. And it was a poor girl who called in, and it was Thanksgiving night, and she was being molested by her uncle.
Yeah.
You remember this? And he died. No. He died on top of her.
Who?
At the house where they're all having Thanksgiving dinner, and she had to wait for like her sister to come in and find the big dead uncle on top of her. Thanksgiving. No recollection of that.
No.
You do block stuff out.
That's how pathetic love line. She didn't dream that one?
No, I'm sure. I remember.
That sounds like one I would have clung on to.
I just wanted to go down memory lane.
Thank you.
The show need a little upbeat touch.
Feel free to bring up uplifting calls like that anytime, man.
The guy that got the head from the mausoleum.
Yeah, that one I remember. Awesome. The guy that ripped the head off that guy. Yeah, tore a head off an old lady to bring it back to freak his brother out, and because his snake's aquarium needed a decoration. Cindy, what's up?
Hi. It's actually a weird question to ask. I'm 25. I've dated almost exclusively women, seriously anyway, during most of my life. Never into the sex, just really like the intimacy. Then I came to school. I started law school. And suddenly I'm just looking at guys, like, all over the place. And I really want to date them. The problem is, the wiring's not there. I don't know how. And, like, this
You mean the arousal's not there?
No, the arousal, that's there. But I don't know how to talk to them. Because I heard you say something about how men are, like, boxes with switches. And
yes.
I'm starting to get that. I'm starting to see that. But I don't know how to, you know, like, talk to one that I'm interested in at a party or something, because I'm not a drinker. I don't like the way alcohol makes me feel. I don't like it. I've always been very, like, academic and controlled.
Yeah.
And I really want to know just how to talk to guys, see whether they're interested in me and all that, because I'm finally kind of getting interested in sex after 25 years.
All right. The most important thing to recognize that guys will let you know. If they're interested, you'll feel it. They become very feel like you get in their. You can tell you're in their crosshairs. It's like they hunt for you. Like they're like on the move. They're coming after. There's a pressure. They're moving towards you all the time. And if you don't shut that down, if you throw the door open even a little bit,
That's all you got to do. Just standing nearby and continuing to have a conversation. And the more you carry the conversation, the happier the guy's going to be.
Okay.
Yeah, would you say that? Yeah. Just the fact, and I think the one thing that I've noticed women do is they if you touch, you know, touching a guy, it's sort of letting him know that you're sort of there, you're engaged, you're interested.
Okay.
And keeping the conversation moving by things like, you know, if the guy says, try not to say no. In other words, if the guy says, you ever seen that movie? Yeah, I've seen that. You're interested in that? Oh, I couldn't wait to see that movie, even if you thought it sucked.
Right.
Just keep the conversation going, and then take the conversation, keep it moving. If he is looking elsewhere, if he seems to want to move around, let him go.
Okay.
Don't you pursue, because guys are very hard to bring back around. They're either in or they're out, and they just don't waste your time with the guys that are out.
Okay, and one more thing.
Yeah.
I really like your crystal ball a lot. I think it would be even cooler if the engineer could throw in like a cool sound effect, like chimes or something.
Yeah, I like that. Anderson, what do you think? No, not you breaking my crystal ball. You don't like my crystal ball?
Well, most of them, the visions that you have with your crystal ball are so depressing that you should probably just chuck it.
P.S. There happen to be the reality of what our callers are calling about.
I know, but it's so hard to look at, most of it.
Cindy, thanks. We're gonna work on that, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, good luck.
Thanks.
God damn it, Anderson. I'm going to keep using that crystal ball, and you're gonna create some music for it. All right, let's see. Let's talk to Ryan. Gil, you come up with something, if not for Anderson, all right? Ryan, what's up, buddy?
Hey, how's it going?
Good, what's happening?
I've got a quick question. Trojan Condoms has a spermicidal condom.
Spermicidal?
Spermicidal. It says on the box that it's can be used more than once in a day.
Can be?
It can't be. It recommends it not being used more than once a day.
I think they mean more than once, period. There's something lost.
I mean, don't use like two condoms in like in a day.
What? Read me the sentence. How could it be the guy's on hold for 45 minutes and then when he gets on the air, the phone cuts out? What's with the great magnet on that one? Jade.
He wasn't talking about the same condom. I think he was talking about using two separate condoms on the same dick the same day.
What does that mean?
It's bad for your wiener to use that kind of condom twice in one day.
There are concerns about spermicides irritating the lining of particularly women and increasing the risk of transmission of HIV and other kinds of viral STDs, but I still don't think they would tell you not to use a condom as many as you need. Mandy.
Yes, hi.
Hey, what's up?
I'm 28, and my mother, she was diagnosed with schizophrenia.
Nice.
And now that I'm with my husband about 6 years ago, we just recently got married, and his mother's diagnosed with bipolar.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just wondering, like, what our chances are of having children with any of those diseases?
Both fairly common mental health conditions. Bipolarity, probably a little more apt to have a familial tendency to it. Is your husband bipolar?
No, he's not.
All right. So if he didn't get or doesn't have that tendency, it's not clear that he can pass it on if he doesn't have it himself. But it's possible. It's possible.
My mother's mom, she also was schizophrenia. She also had that. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering also, if you're on lithium for bipolar, are you able to get off that medication?
That's a complicated question. Most bipolar patients need to be on something chronically.
Okay.
Yes, you can get off lithium, but you need to be on something else.
Okay, that's what I'm just wondering, because as of a year, my mother-in-law, they said that she doesn't need the medication, so they actually just took her off of that.
Good,
I wasn't clear that was okay. Because
it can be.
They put her on something else.
It can be okay, but they have to watch her very carefully to make sure that she doesn't decompensate. Phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Gil, anything on the MySpace? Anything interesting? It's coming along. It's growing. All right, we're getting some good stuff there. But don't refrain from giving advice to one another. Refrain from taking advice. Some of the JOs online there giving advice that is just brutal. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the phone number here. Again, coming up tomorrow night, Danny Bonaducci, then Christian Finnegan, then Carson Daly and Fred Goss, and really just an amazing, and then the guy from 24, the president. We're going to be right back after this.
This is Loveline.
Thank you.
Love Line, 1-800-LOVE-191. This is Dr. Drew here, and got a couple of oral sex questions off the MySpace site. There's Jennifer from Arizona, who is basically virtually vomits because of the taste of semen. And she wants to know if there's some way that he can change his taste. And not really. There's not much that can be done about that. I know there's lots of rumor about it being able to be done, but just think about it. Think about anything else coming out of your body, what you blow your nose or what comes out your poo. You can't change that. You can only make it worse, really. And
you
maybe
could pour
just
some honey in there.
Yeah.
Like, you really could do that. You could take one of those little bear things.
Honey, where? Oh, up the peni?
Yeah, up the peni.
No.
I mean, if you're devoted to her and you really love her.
Not okay. Not
okay.
You
really love the act of oral sex.
It's a great way to get urethral stenosis, which is not fun. All right. And here's the deal. She could not either transport the semen or just get rid of it quickly, get it out of your mouth somehow. He'll be okay as long as you don't sort of break your rhythm towards the end there. And then by the same token, we've got Noah, who says, I have never orgasmed with oral sex. My last girlfriend used to give me head all the time. I never got off to it. What are the possible causes? And, of course, all these supportive members of this MySpace community accuse Noah of being gay, of course, naturally, when the fact is there are just some guys that don't get off with oral sex.
Gay.
No, it has nothing to do with sexual orientation. It has nothing to do with anything. And it's just one of those things. That's just him. So here we go. Let's go on the calls. This is John. What's up?
Hey, yeah, I just had a question. I've been with my wife we've been together for about 4 years, and I have a tendency to sometimes get, like, anxiety performance with her.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to know what that's related to or what,
you
why
mean
that
you
happened.
You suddenly get nervous, then you lose your erection?
Yeah, basically.
Does it happen all the time? Is it here and there?
No, it doesn't really happen all the time. I guess it mainly happens when I'm not really in the mood. But, I mean, we have a great sex life. I mean, she's able to, I guess, climax regularly, and so am I. I'm not sure what's that related, what's that related to.
Is that her talking to you?
Yeah, that's her right here.
Let me talk to her.
All right.
What's her name?
Hello.
Hey, what's your opinion? What do you think this is?
I just think, like, sometimes he's on top and he's working too hard, and so all the blood leaves because it's, like, pumping to his heart.
No. Okay, guys can wear their kneecaps off and they don't lose their erection if they're into it. How often are you guys having sex?
How often do we have sex, you think, babe?
Probably, like, at least 5 times a week.
Like 4 or 5 times a week.
It may just be a little bit more than he can handle biologically. I mean, if you backed off, like, 20... Yeah, backed off like 20%. Because he said is when he's kind of not that into it.
Yeah.
And if he, just give him a chance. When he's not that into it, realize that you're going to risk, a biological performance problem.
Yeah.
And there are obviously these performance-enhancing medications and things now. But at 26 and...
No, I don't want to do any of that stuff anyway. So that's what you would do.
Yeah, it's just if he just kind of lay off... You got to kind of reach... How long have you guys been married or together anyway?
We've been together 4 years.
Yeah, you got to find each other's rhythms. You have to be honest about it. As he gets older, his rhythm's going to slow down even more. So just kind of prepare for that, okay?
Just too much, babe.
Now, okay. You're too much. You're the one that's too much. All right?
All right.
All right. Take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
This is David. What's up, David?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's happening?
So my problem is that I'm gay, but I hate every single gay person that I ever meet. I hate the effeminate. I hate the butch. I hate everything.
What does that mean? Why do you hate it?
I'm disgusted by most gay people, and that sounds ridiculous and awful, but I am. So, but however, whenever I finally end up dating one, I fall ridiculously hard for them,
mm-hmm.
and it usually doesn't end well, which causes, I can't figure it out. That's part of the problem, is that something always seems to go not quite right.
Does somebody cheat?
What's that?
Does somebody cheat?
Yeah, there's been some of that before.
Who cheats?
Just not myself, someone else, whoever I'm dating tends to.
All right. Do you tend to idealize people you're involved with?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So this is that cycle of de-idealization, over-idealization. So you go from disgust and, envy, sort of can't stand people, to idealizing them and being overly in love with them.
Right.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I tend to romanticize any relationship that I'm in. Yeah. But other than that, like, I really have no interaction with gay people.
All right, what's your question?
How do I fix that? How do I, either how do I stop romanticizing the relationships that I am in?
Yeah.
Or how do I become more acceptive of other gay people?
Because, David, none of this is a cognitive process. I don't think you can be sort of convinced out of it or talked out of it. I think what you're experiencing, particularly this tendency to idealize and de-idealize and have bad boundaries with people and then sort of not really realize who you're involved with and get hurt as a result. And sort of, see, it sounds like you're acting out sort of a recurrent script, something that happened to you long, long ago, and you're sort of hell-bent on making it happen over and over again. And I really only know of one way to break that cycle, and that is with therapy. And so that's what I'd urge you to do.
Okay.
If you want to hang on off the line, I'll give you some suggestions, okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
All right, hold on, sure. All right, everybody, it's 1-800-LOVE-191. Gil, anything going on MySpace there?
Same stuff.
Trash talking about us?
No, about the people asking questions.
Trash talking about the people asking questions, not the people answering questions, which are the ones I've been talking trash about. All right, let's see here. We got Matt. What's that, Anderson?
Some kid called in last night, and I guess he was complaining because he used to really like to go to the Loveline group during the show. And he told Lance, he says, I have a complaint because it used to be a nice, quiet, peaceful place here, and now there's all these people in here.
Sorry about that. Again, the phone number is 1-800-LOVE-191. Let's make it a raucous, not peaceful place, and we'll be right back. Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm Dr. Drew, and these nights when we don't have guests/co-hosts in here, it's nice to interact with you all through this MySpace. It's kind of fun. Erin points that out and says to you how much she's appreciating this, although we've had complaints about the amount of traffic on the Loveline MySpace. There again, it's MySpace. Go to the groups, then click on Loveline, and we've got some really interesting, good questions. Here's a guy named Jerry. Let me read this to you. I live in a country where you can buy Viagra without a prescription. Reputable pharmacies in China will sell you the stuff as long as no one's around, whatever that means. Is there anything that might be bad about using it now and again for recreational purposes? My system works okay, but since I'm about to have a weekend love-in, what the hell does that mean? I think it'd be fun to rev things up a bit. Here's the reality. It is a medication, and you don't want to take medications unless there's a medical reason for it. At 26, without erectile difficulty, that really is just purely recreational, and I would not recommend that. Though, there's some interesting data that suggests over half of all men 40 and above, and some younger guys too, will have erectile dysfunction to some degree or another. And erectile dysfunction, when you lose your erection, if it keeps happening, even once in a while, as we heard from a caller a little while ago, can affect the relationship. And it's considered to be okay to use that once in a while for something that is having a consequence on your relationship. I think ultimately you need to kind of work it out and figure out why this is happening. As we talked to that last couple, they were just having sex too frequently for that guy's biology. But using it once in a while, a guy 40 or something. If you're on medication, if you have medical problems, and you're having frequent erectile dysfunction, that's really what it's designed for. And that's, as we all age, that's more common than you might think. Let us talk to Crystal Clear. Is that your name?
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening?
Hi. I've been doing porn for a while, and I just, and like my behaviors, I guess, like I feel like doing this, like, I don't know, it's like changed me, and I feel like a whore sometimes. I don't know.
Well, what do you mean change you? What happened?
Like, for instance, my relationship, it affects my relationship.
Whore, yeah, slut, bitch.
Right. Thank you, Peter.
Yeah. And it's like changed everything. And
well,
I don't know.
Crystal. I know sort of sweeping generalities with me, please. Just real specific. What's changed?
Like my sex with my boyfriend has changed.
In what way?
Like he doesn't want to sleep with me because he feels that, I see all these people in my job.
That's nice.
Yeah, Crystal with the big F-bomb. That's nice. Well done. You're a performer, honey. Crystal.
Yeah.
Crystal, can you not drop the F bomb?
Yeah, sorry.
Can you tell me how you spell your name? Was it K or a C, Crystal?
It's with a C.
Wait, you looking her up online?
You got to.
Oh,
I'm under teenslam.com.
Teen Slam?
She is a teenager.
Teen as in teenager, and slam as in I'm going to slam my fist into the wall, .com.
How'd you get involved in this, Crystal?
She's got some good energy.
I was doing some telemarketing, and I got fired. And when I went to the bank to go cash my check, some guy handed me a card and asked me if I was a model. I said no. And they said, give us a call. And it was porn. And I was like, yeah, I'll do it. So, I mean, it's fun, but, I mean, it's just a lot. I feel like a whore. I mean, my parents kind of, like, they're okay with it, but then, like, you know, they kind of disown me, and it's hurtful.
How okay with it could they be if they disowned you?
Like, they're okay. Like, they've accepted that I do porn, you know?
Yeah, but have you given them any alternative?
What's that mean?
Are you giving them any choice?
To accept it?
They have to accept it, or they can't have a relationship with you because you're not going to change.
But, like, when I come over, like, to go see them, they're like, well, you know, hurry up and do what you need to do. You want to talk? Let's talk and then leave. You know, like, you know, they think, you know, my mom, she tells my family members I'm a whore. And, I mean, I don't know. It's hurtful.
Are you doing drugs when you do this stuff?
Am I doing drugs?
Yeah.
No, I've been clean and sober for 2 years.
All right. Well, your addiction is active right now. Okay. You're obviously, you're not going to meetings. You're not working with a sponsor. And this is your new addiction.
Yeah.
Did you ever go to meetings?
Yeah. I go to meetings off and on, but I.
Well, you don't have a sponsor right now.
No, I did have one. She actually was in the industry too. And I mean, it was crazy.
Well, and she was sober in the industry?
Yeah. They have meetings for porn, for people that are in the meetings, you know, like that do porn. They have meetings at AIM.
Hey, Drew.
What?
Remember that girl that called up earlier tonight with the gag reflex problem?
Yeah.
Apparently, Crystal's got the same issue.
Well, guys think it's sexy.
Oh, so you choked on purpose? I just watched a little clip of your work.
Well, yeah, it turns them on. Are you looking at me?
Yeah, you jumped up and down on the bed all sorts of times, and then I had sex with your hair, it looked like.
Yeah, they make me look like I'm a little girl. I'm actually with Seymour Butts.
All right, Crystal Clover, well, come on.
What?
Here's the deal. You're seeing the consequences of these behaviors, right?
Yeah.
It's destroying your life. It's destroying your soul. You're turning into something you don't want to be. It's right. Who you are now. And if you want to change it, you can.
Drew, if you saw this video, it's kind of too late.
Really?
Yeah, it's like two at the same time.
Crystal.
Yeah.
That's not you, is it?
What?
That's not who you want to be, is it?
No. No,
she's really
I'm
pretty,
poor,
though.
Like,
she's very pretty.
That's not who you want to be.
Bartender. Be a bartender.
What do you want to do with your life?
I want to be an artist because I do art. Like, I like to paint and draw.
Do you want to be a parent?
No, a painter. Like, you know,
I understand,
paint.
But do you ever want to be a part of a family?
Yeah.
It'd be pretty hard to do that going down this path.
Yeah.
And God knows what your parents put you through, but let's let you change it. Okay, whatever those issues were in the past, it seems like you're suffering and you're only 19, and this is not the solution.
Yeah.
And nor is it okay to go to meetings with people in the industry. You have to have complete sobriety, humility, simplicity in your life.
Yeah.
Go to, in addition, I think you should go to SA myself, Sex Addicts
really?
Anonymous. Yeah, I do. But if you want to just go to what was your drug of choice originally?
Methamphetamine.
So you're going to CA or AA? What are you going to? NA?
No, I like NA, yeah.
NA. So go to NA, get yourself a sponsor where somebody's been sober at least 10 years, and just take the cotton out of your ears, put it in your mouth, and just sit, put your ass in a seat, and do what your sponsor tells you. And how about no guys for a year?
Oh, my God. Like, no
she
dating?
Just gagged.
Just gagged. No what?
No dating for a year?
No relationships for a year.
Oh, my.
I know it's gonna be hard at 19, but you've dug yourself into a hole here that it's gonna be hard to get out of, and you're inches away from relapsing on drugs too. By the way,
really,
you know that. You can tell, right?
No, well, I wouldn't do it. I mean, I wouldn't relapse.
You're inches away.
Yeah.
All right. Well, go do it. It's up to you. Nothing we can do for you, but how much do you have to suffer? How disgusted do you have to get with yourself before you're going to do it?
Yeah.
You're going to find out, I guess. All right?
Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Bye. I know, Anderson, even though you're impressed with her work, she's suffering.
I never said I was impressed, Drew. Why not?
You sounded impressed.
I wasn't impressed at all. I told you about the gag reflex thing. Yeah. And she was doing the ski pole motion, like she was skiing down the mountain.
What does that mean?
Like one in each hand, like ski poles.
Oh, my God.
That was kind of impressive, actually. If you saw it, you'd agree with me with that.
That's all right, yeah. Katie, what's up, my dear?
Hi, Dr. Drew. How are you doing?
Good. So, here you go. You're on the air. What's up?
I have this confession that I don't have anybody else to really tell.
All right, here we go. This seems to be that kind of night. It's full moon, ladies and gentlemen. Full moon. Go ahead.
I've been prostituting with somebody that I've been friends with for quite a while.
How weird that you take money from a friend.
I know.
How did that get started?
Well, just, I don't even remember how it started, really, but I needed some money, and it's been going on for almost as long as my relationship has been going on, but he doesn't know about it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Awful.
Yeah. Basically, a few months after he and I
got
together.
It occurs to me that this kind of situation is usually, I don't know you, but I'm just sort of, my crystal ball's heating up a little bit here. And when I see this kind of pattern, usually it's someone like you who have a history of being with sort of abusive and chaotic guys, who finally get involved with a nice guy, but you would sabotage that were it not for the fact that you're sort of splitting this one part of yourself off and carrying on with this other sort of really bad guy.
Yeah.
So you get to continue to experience that bad part of yourself that was sexually abused or whatever while you're with the good guy.
Right.
But you retain, because you're in two different sort of realms, you retain an internal split. You're two different people inside rather than a whole person in a real relationship. You're trying to hold together a relationship with a good guy that you seem unable to tolerate real closeness without this part of yourself sort of going out and doing other things. Is that about right?
Yeah.
My crystal ball does not lie. It's amazing how accurate that damn crystal ball is. Was it sexual abuse for you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Incest.
All right. Well, good times. I'm always, like you say, Anderson, I have to break that ball. I'm always happy when it delivers the news. So what can I do to help?
So I'm at the point where I want
to... Oh, by the way, the guilt? You're feeling guilty?
You know, I'm starting to feel guilty now. I never did.
Yeah, you know what that is? That's a perfect reason to go sabotage the relationship with the good guy.
Did she say how much money she's getting?
How much money are you getting?
$100.
Oh, if you put that on the internet, Crystal says you can make a whole lot more, honey.
How often? How often do you pay that $100?
About once a month, every couple weeks.
Drew, why don't you float her $200 a month and stop? She won't stop.
And by the way, the guilt will kill her. The guilt. I have to be honest. I have to get it off my chest. He needs to know. Just so you can just destroy that guy in that relationship. Okay, you need to get treatment is what you need to get. Forget the guilt. Forget everything. Forget telling him. Take yourself to somebody to get the help so you can actually have a real relationship someday.
Okay.
How about that? You're 27. This is not a... My crystal ball has a red alert sign over it. Like the bad going down bad path. They're going to find you with a ball gag in your mouth and dead somewhere and wonder what happened. This girl was so nice and her boyfriend was so nice. How'd this happen?
Right.
She'll have $100 in her pocket, though.
Right. That's what this, I mean, you're taking more risks and doing crazier things, right?
Yeah.
And that's my crystal ball does not lie.
Okay.
All right. So come on. Let's go get some help before you really hurt yourself, right?
Okay. Thank you.
Good luck. James, what's up, James?
Hi, Dr. Drew. My brother's been using Duragesic patches for a soft tissue injury, I think it's called. Anyway, he's lately been tearing them open and extracting the gel, I guess, that's inside. And he either ingests it or lately he seems to be experimenting with injecting it.
Okay, so he is a severe opiate addict. Severe.
he insisted it's pretty much the same as applying the patch, but
it's the same as
fentanyl is kind of strong. It's sort of like heroin or something.
It's like heroin. It's a synthetic opioid, and it is profoundly addictive behavior to be eating the patches or to be injecting the patches. God knows, you know, those are not sterile techniques he's using here. God knows what kind of infection he's going to get one of these days. So this is end of the road addiction. This is somebody that's going to die soon if you don't intervene.
Okay.
This is really serious stuff.
Okay,
this is an IV heroin addict. That's what you got on your hands here. Just happens to be using fentanyl instead of heroin because somebody's prescribing fentanyl, unfortunately. If I were you, I would tip off the doctors.
Okay. Can I just write an anonymous letter?
I would call up and say, I don't want to tell you exactly how I'm related to this person, but I'm a close relation, and he is taking these patches. He's injecting them.
Okay.
Be sure to tell them about the injection part. The doctor's head will hit the ceiling. Okay?
All right. Thank you.
All right. Good luck.
Bye.
And the controversy then comes in how you treat that, and that's, again, controversial. I have very strong feelings it should be abstinence only. Jessica, what's happening?
Hi.
Hey.
I just wanted to ask you a quick question. I'm married, and my husband, I didn't notice it too much when we were first together, but now I notice it really big time. It starts a lot of fights and arguments. He has some kind of memory problem, you know, and I want to know if it's related to drugs or, you know.
Typical memory problems from drugs, Jessica, are pot. I just saw that big study that came out yesterday. A lot of the internet news agencies were reporting it.
Hold on.
I'm just saying what drugs can cause memory problems. Give me a second here. And so if you saw that study yesterday that showed that the longer-term pot smokers were having significant memory problems, and then number two, methamphetamine, and number three, ecstasy. Those are the ones that typically cause memory problems. Now, alcohol can do it, too. Fortunately, the memory problems from alcohol usually get better once you get off the alcohol. And with pot, too, they tend to get better.
What about acid?
I can see where that could be a problem, but that's not characteristic. Usually the problem with LSD and acid is personality changes and severe mood problems.
Do you think he needs to go to like a doctor or, you know, what can I do? Because he gets offended when I bring it up. Like, thinks I'm downing him, you know?
Well, you take him to a neurologist, but it needs to be a neurologist that has some experience dealing with drug addiction. Because we see this stuff all the time from drug use. And the amphetamine one is the one that's sort of heartbreaking because people, you know, get clean and doing well in the prime. They just left with this residual stuff. Hey, Matt, what's happening?
Matt?
Hey,
my question is, how does one differentiate between being in love and being in love with the idea of being in love?
Matt, why don't you tell us what's going on with you, buddy? What's happening? You're thinking too much. I'll tell you that for sure.
I've been with, the girls I've, been attracted to, I've ended up falling, heads over heels in love with, and then, the relationship would end, and I'd be, crushed for, a year and a half at a time.
Yeah, these are issues. This is not being anything other than having boundary problems and having issues with self-worth and stability in relationships. I mean, there's all kinds of sort of typical psychological issues that bring this all to bear. What kind of family of origin did you have? What kind of situation you come up in?
It's been pretty good, except my parents got divorced when I was four.
All right. So this is still maybe an attempt to cling to an idealized relationship that you had long ago that you lost. And when you reenact the loss, it's sort of devastating. It's that kind of pattern that gets going at your age. So it's really not about ideas at all. This is the misconception people have about human relationships. There's very little of it is based on ideas. It's based on impulses and drives and very primitive senses of ourself engaged in relations with other people. And in your case, you're going for absolute fusions. You want to be almost like a little kid would be. You want to be completely lost in that other person. You idealize who they are. And then, of course, they're a human being and they're 17 years old and they go on and those relationships always come apart. And then you're completely crushed because how could that be? How could this perfect, fused, idealized person leave? That's impossible. It's unthinkable. And this is hopefully something you kind of work through as you get older, hopefully. But you're going to be one of these guys that goes through college going, why do girls always diss on nice guys? You already had that kind of feeling?
Yeah.
Why do girls always nice guys? It's not nice guys, Matt. There's a lot of nice guys out there. You're a nice guy, I'm sure, too. But the fact is women cannot stand clinginess and that being responsible for another person at 17, they're not prepared for it. They just feel overwhelmed. You come in like an alien and intrude every corpuscle.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a good question. way.
Come on, what? Don't be such a pussy.
What's that?
But you had that caller earlier today who said, like, she was a lesbian, but she started liking guys but didn't know how to talk to them.
Yeah.
I have the same thing, sort of, but, like, I didn't used to be gay or anything, but I used to be,
hey there, fancy pants.
Really overweight, but now, like, I guess I started growing into it, and I guess I've been getting a lot of compliments about how good I look now and stuff, but because I didn't really talk to girls when I was younger because of my, you know, not looking good or anything, not having the confidence, I don't really know how to talk to them now, and I don't really know how to approach a girl that I like.
No 17-year-old does. You just need practice. Come on. Don't be silly. Just go out and date, but don't think in terms of resist or hold yourself back from getting involved with people, getting in relationships. That's not something you should be dealing with right now. You need to learn just to be with and around people and enjoy them without falling into the abyss of this fusion that you have a tendency to get into. John, what's up?
Hey, I was wondering, I've heard that nutmeg makes you hallucinate.
Yeah, a bunch of it, a lot of it.
I've heard like 2 tablespoons.
That's what I've heard. I've not really seen anybody do that. I mean, I haven't seen any, I don't know what the mechanism is even. Why, what's up?
One of my friends said he tried it one time and it just makes him like, he got like all scared and like.
Yeah, I think it is a little bit more of what they call an anticholinergic reaction where you get sort of dry and hot and your pulse goes up and you just feel sort of freaked out.
Same things with like 10 pounds of chocolate or something like that?
I know, that's a xanthine, so it's a little different.
Vanilla extract?
The morning glory seeds are more like it.
I also have another question about what is Darvocet? It's like a...
It's a weak opioid.
Okay.
Why?
Because one of my friends...
He found it in his mom's...
He like took a couple of the pills and was like... he said it's like makes you feel good. I don't know.
It's like Vicodin. Like a weak Vicodin, okay?
Oh, okay.
John, you in the market for drugs?
Yeah, not recommended you do these things. What are you searching for?
No, a couple of my friends have been doing stuff like that, and...
It's always the friend.
I was wondering. Yeah. No, I'll
tell your friends that maybe that's not such a good idea. Oh, my. We have a lot of good... Let me do a quick question from online. This is from the MySpace. Okay, this is a little odd. This is from Kurt. But one time a friend told me there was something similar to a girl's G-spot up a male's butt. Is there really such a thing? So what the heck is it? Thanks. It's nothing. It's not a goddamn thing. It's your prostate. Some guys like it massaged. Maybe 1 out of 1,000. For those guys, they will let their partners know. The rest would be unhappy with women searching around back there for anything. Men will let you know what they want. Tim, what's up?
Hey.
Tim?
I'm calling about I have an oral infection.
Yeah.
It's in my gums. It's not an open infection. The dentist is still trying to figure out how exactly I got it. And I'm on a couple antibiotics, and I want to make sure that it's okay to go down on my girlfriend, and I'm not going to pass it to her.
No, I would say not. I've never heard of that happening. And you're on antibiotics. That should really decrease the potential for transmissibility.
Okay. So it is safe to do it?
I've never heard of it. I mean,
for me to go down on her, or should I stay away?
Do you know what the bacteria is that you have in your gum?
No. That's the problem. He gave me penicillin, and that didn't do anything to it.
Mm-hmm.
And right now I'm on Flagyl, I believe. And that's helping a bit. I'm
boring.
On it for a couple.
All right. I think it's okay if you go down. I think it's fine. But be careful. Cameron, what's up?
Hey, what's up?
What's happening?
All right. My question is, I've been hearing a lot lately about when you're young or below 24, whatever age it is, to stay out of relationships and, you know, just focus on having fun and being young. But my thing is, it's like, how are you going to know exactly what you're looking for in the future if you stay out of the relationship, you know, through that trial and error thing?
I would not say stay out of a relationship. I have given that advice a couple times tonight for people that have very, very serious pathology in their relationships and need to kind of cool out for a little while and grow up and spend some time by themselves and learn to maintain boundaries with other people. They get overly involved and overly chaotic and make bad choices. I would say it's a good idea to get in relationships in your late teens and early 20s.
Yeah, well,
but to realize, and this is the advice, they should not and do not last. These are part of the developmental process, and to become focused, to cling to it, and to not allow it to sort of evolve as it tends to is a big mistake. And also to cling to long-distance relationships and forsake your experiences as a young person, I think, is a mistake, too.
So basically, I have to be in a relationship with someone of, like, the same state of mind where we can talk about it and understand, hey, just right now we're having fun. Let's take
things. No, I...
Yeah.
I'm not saying that. Anderson's in quite a mood tonight. It's more that, of course, when you get involved with it, you think it's the greatest thing ever. And I'm not saying just don't think about the end as you're getting in, but realize as things wind down, don't demand that they go on when it falls a natural course. Okay?
So, yeah.
Everybody that age is thinking that way.
When you like and you're feeling the vibes, just go for it. You know,
yes.
Ride the train till it, you know, stops or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And just realize that people get married in your 20s, you're going to be divorced in your 30s. That's pretty clearly the data. All right, so we're going to go check out the MySpace again. Gil, you been watching it? Interesting? It's slow and just slow and go. All right, Gil's monitoring the MySpace. You go to MySpace, check out the groups, and click on Loveline, and we're looking at some of the questions you have online there. We've got Jerry from China. We've got Kurt who wants to join MA, which I suggest you do that, Marijuana Anonymous. That was Jerry. I can't figure out where these names go to. Anyway, all right. We will read more of these on the air. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. We'll take a commercial break. Be right back.
Loveline. We'll be right back.
Loveline 1-800-LOVE-191. Here's a question off the MySpace. I tend to tear near the top where my labia majora meets. Is there something I can do to help prevent this? Tearing at the top. Wow. I would worry that was some sort of an infectious process, even herpes or maybe a vaginal infection. And that's something a doctor needs to look at. Sometimes just a little steroid cream will take care of that. But that's not something you should be just asking strictly about on the radio. Yeah, I'm wondering. You can tear towards the bottom. That happens all the time.
But that's not from sex if you're tearing. It's like
it's more of an inflammatory thing. Like when the corners of your mouth get irritated, it's that kind of thing. Mason, what's up?
Hey, I have a question. I'm 19, and there's a girl at my work that likes me. She's 28. Mm-hmm. And I was just wondering if I should go for it. I mean, it's not illegal or anything. I was just wondering if I should go for it. It just seems kind of weird because I'm still young and I don't know if she's like ready to settle down or anything like that because she's 28.
Well, she's got to know you're just 19. I mean, she has been really disturbed to sort of try to reel you into a serious relationship. What kind of environment do you work in? Where do you work?
Oh, I work in a movie theater.
And what does she do there?
She's kind of new, but she's moving up pretty fast. She's just working there part time, but she works at a phone company also.
She's not a manager. She's not in a position of authority over you?
No.
Is Mason a virgin?
Yeah.
Mason?
Then you should definitely do it. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah. Anderson says yes. Definitely do it. I'm okay with it as long as she's not in a position of authority. And I would be aware, though, this is likely to be a wild ride. Just saying. Just that she's not going to be exactly what you call a stable person, I bet. Carla, what's up? My crystal ball. Crystal ball said no. No on the stable. What's up?
Nothing much. I just had a quick question. Well, by the way, it's your lucky day. You've had two porn stars calling you today, so...
Oh, you're the other one?
Yeah, I'm the other
Carly,
one.
Carly, spell your name with a C or a K, Carla.
K.
And where does Anderson find you on the web?
Trashy Latino Hoes. I have a few videos out, so if
I'm
you
out.
Just y'all search me, Carla Lane, you'll come up with a few. Oh,
Trashy Latino Hoes? Oh, my God. I feel like I live in like a bottle or something. What the hell? All right.
So my question is, because I work a lot and I have like a really serious boyfriend, is there anything I could use during my period so I could film besides the sponge? Because the sponge has a tendency to go a little too high up and, you know, to get it down.
Well, not that I'm aware of, other than a tampon, but all those things are just going to get kind of forced up further inside and increase your risk for toxic shock. So
yeah, I know the sponge is usable. Have you heard of anything called the cap?
The cervical cap. Yeah, there is a cervical cap out there too. Mm-hmm. That's another possibility. But the idea of putting something in to prevent blood from coming out is always just a bad idea, I think, in terms of risking toxic shock.
Really? Even if it's for an hour?
No, for an hour, then why not just use the sponge then?
But the sponge, I have small fingers, and, you know, it's like, yeah.
There's websites that specialize in girls that bleed, and that's all that they want, so why don't you just go over there?
Oh, God.
The Red Wing site.
I haven't gotten to that fetish yet.
Oh, not yet. Oh, good, Carla.
So no suggestions?
Anything you use is going to be way up and it's going to be difficult to pull out anyway.
Yeah.
And you need to take it out. I mean, you know, maybe a gynecologist afterwards or somebody. I mean, I understand that's where you draw your line. That's where you become prudish is when it comes to taking out devices that you've put up inside there.
I really have small fingers and it's hard to get anything out. Like, you know.
I know, but can't you ask for some help?
Yeah, I could. It's true. You know, if you're filming with someone, you have another guy, you know, the other talents, you're not going to ask him, could you stick your finger in my vagina to get it out? Because that's kind of, you know, disgusting in that sense.
I don't know. Call me crazy, but you do disgusting things. And
why
does
she have a problem with that, but nothing else?
Right. Call me nuts. But
I got ones in my mouth and ones in my butt, and I don't want to ask him to put it in my vagina.
Right. I can't possibly ask him to pull out
that'd be trashy.
Alicia, what's up?
Hello?
Hi, Alicia. You're on the air. It's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191.
Yeah.
I need to take a shower.
Huh?
Wait, nothing. Go ahead.
I'm married.
Good.
And I just recently found out that I have herpes. I found out Saturday.
Good times.
And I was with a woman last year, probably like January, for about 2 months.
How long have you been married? While you were married?
Yeah.
Explain that to me.
Hello?
Explain that to me.
Well, she was a coworker.
Oh, why'd you say so? Oh, I'm sorry. Of course. Oh, I'm sorry. Now it's all crystal clear.
Yeah, and I don't know. I've always been curious about women. I've always liked women
mm-hmm.
as well. And I just kind of like... Anyways, I got herpes. And I want to know how long it takes before you know that you have it. Because I never had any signs or anything until like... last September, but I just thought it was nothing. I just thought, you know, maybe I got irritated during having sex with my husband because I was dry.
Right.
So I didn't get it checked, but he broke out with a rash. And he says to me, you know, what, you know, he asked me if I slept around. He knew, he found out about the woman before that. But we both didn't get checked. And then again, when we had sex a couple weeks ago, I broke out with, like, just, like, one sore down there, so I went and got it checked.
Mm-hmm.
And the results came back and said that I was positive for HPV.
What's your question?
Well, can I get it from a female?
Absolutely.
Like, really?
Absolutely. Why not? You can get it from her mouth. You can get it from her hands. You can get it from her. I mean, what do you mean? If you put something in her and then in you, boom, perfect. Brought the virus along with it.
Oh, really?
What, Alicia, where'd you go to, what do you do for a living? What do you do for a living?
I'm a device programmer.
Did you go to college?
No. I mean, partially a little bit, but I didn't graduate.
She's married, right?
Yeah.
So that now her husband has it, she's good to go. Who cares?
Right. That's the other thing.
I'm saying, like, I don't know. And another thing, too, a month later after I broke it off with the female, I slept with a guy as well.
All right. So what's up, Alicia? What is up?
I don't know. I just, maybe I was kind of like freaking out. And I called the girl. I tried to get a hold of her.
What are you freaking out about?
The fact that I have it. And it's.
Hey, now I'm not talking about the herpes. What is up with you cheating on your husband randomly like this?
Well, we were having problems and I planned on leaving him anyway. It's not like I didn't plan to cheat on him.
She went to Arizona State. I think that's the problem.
Ah, fantastic.
It just kind of happened.
Look, what do you think herpes doesn't happen or that it couldn't happen to you? Of course. You have sex with random people, you get herpes, period. You're lucky that's all you got.
Right.
count your blessings. And your husband has it too, and now you both have it, and you share it, and that's it. You're not going to give it to anybody else. Maybe this will clip your wings a little bit.
Yeah.
Are you going to stay with your husband?
I don't know.
What's going on with that?
Well, we've been having problems for a long time. I just have no desire to be with him at all.
All right. Well, I my crystal ball, it's like just turned black. I don't like what I'm seeing. You need to kind of maybe hang in with this a little bit. Is this a bad guy or a good guy?
A good guy.
Yeah, you need to hang in, and just not everybody has to be an abusive biker like your dad.
Mm-hmm.
Is your dad a biker?
No.
Why do I just see an abusive kind of guy?
No, I mean, how do I know that he didn't give it to me?
Because he had the primary outbreak. You saw him have a big outbreak. That's the initial. It'll never be big like that again. That was you giving it to him the first time right there. Pow. The initial outbreak is always much more exuberant. So what was your dad like?
My dad? I don't know my dad.
Oh. Well, you have no idea what he was like?
No.
I bet he had herpes.
I bet he was a biker. I feel biker. What was your mom like?
She dated bikers when I was younger.
Yes. I don't know why I know that. My crystal ball does not lie. It's crazy. I just hear biker with you, Alicia, and that's not who the guy is you're hooked up with. And I suggest you stay with this guy. All right? Try to work it out. Get some help with this. Oh, my God. I need a shower. I need an enema. I need a therapist. God, you people are freaking me out tonight. It's some full moon.
Good crystal ball work there, though, Drew.
What's that? You like that?
I gotta tell you, that was pretty good.
Amazing. That was good, right? That was
Lance
good.
Just hit his head on the ceiling.
It doesn't lie, the crystal ball. I'm Dr. Drew. The phone number here is 1-800-LOVE-191. Send in some questions for us on MySpace at the groups. Click on Loveline, and Gil and Junior producer Lauren will run in the questions here after they print them up, and try to ask the questions in like three or four sentences, right? They got a couple of sort of novels here that I'm not going to be able to read on the air. I got to be able to read them on the air and give you, you know, specific answers to specific questions. Coming up tomorrow night, Danny Bonaducci, then Christian Finnegan from Best Week Ever, VH1, Carson Daly, Fred Goss from Sons and Daughters, Gregory Itzen, he's the president in 24. That's going to be cool. Foo Fighters, Hawthorne Heights, Seth Green, Howie Mandel. Just amazing lineup for the next 3 weeks. But right now we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Thank you for calling Loveline. Your call will be answered in the order it seems interesting.
Call Loveline. Call Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
It's Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191. I was just reading on MySpace, Garrett, who's been having night terrors his whole life, wakes up, feels like a spirit has landed on him, and he's frozen solid and can't move. This is a really typical syndrome that people get. It's sort of a seizure-like phenomenon, a sleep disturbance, and it is something that should be evaluated. A sleep doctor should see either a sleep neurologist or a sleep pulmonologist. I think neurologist would be the best. Let's see. Let's talk to Sam. What's up, Sam?
Hey, Dr. Drew.
He almost called you Dr. Phil.
I know, I caught that.
I'm sorry.
Right.
Well, anyways, I'm 21 years old, and I am a virgin, and I'm celibate, I think. I'm not quite sure.
What does that mean?
Well, I just don't have sex. I have the opportunity, like, plenty of different partners, but I just get, like, paranoid. I feel like, it's so easy for me to probably just like going out, doing it with other people.
All right.
And that just sticks in the back of my head. And then I just don't want to do it.
All right. What's your question?
So I just wanted to know if there's something wrong with me, because like every time I'm interested, like someone, like definitely interested in someone, like I tell them how I am, and then they just stop talking to me.
I suspect it's not because you're celibate they stop talking. I bet it's just you sort of freak them out a little bit with your anxieties and your paranoias. You need to kind of get into a relationship, Sam. Don't worry about sex or not sex. Just worry about courting somebody, spending time with somebody. Just relax. You're way over the top here with things. And if you can't tolerate being in a relationship, that is not a good thing. You know, work, love, and play are the things that humans have to be able to sort of be able to do to feel fulfilled. And it's the simpler the better, but you got to be able to just do these things. And if you can't, that's where mental health services kind of come in. Julie, what's up there?
Hi, Dr. Drew. What's happening? It is an honor to talk with you.
God bless you. What's happening?
By the way, I'm fairly normal.
By the way, that's good.
Well,
boring.
By the way, Anderson doesn't want to talk to you unless you're a porn star tonight. That seems to be the only thing he's interested in.
Well, I was hoping.
Is that normalporn.com?
Well, no, but I was feeling sorry for Dr. Drew. He sounds very tired tonight.
No, I'm actually not tired. I'm not tired. I'm overwhelmed. I sort of take on people's stuff a little bit. You know, people sometimes go, how do you listen to all these horrible things? And don't you take it home at night? I usually don't, but tonight it was just sort of piling up. Yeah, and I was beginning to feel it a little bit.
I have a fairly simple question.
All right.
Sorry about that, by the way. Do condoms work in hot tubs?
Not the way they should. In other words, it's better than nothing, but I don't think that's an ideal environment for a condom. The heat.
And, so it's not even worth it.
No, it's worth it. It's better than not, but it's something you have to be very careful with.
Mm.
Can you manage not to be underwater when you're having sex?
I suppose, but the idea is to be underwater.
Why?
Because it's fun. I've never done it because I didn't think it was safe. And so it's a little bit of a fantasy because I've never done it and I've had many opportunities and didn't want to get pregnant or any kind of, well, I don't sleep with anyone who has diseases. I get them all tested first, but I guess it's a fantasy.
Well, you can try. I mean, you're worried about the condom as a contraceptive primarily, right?
Right.
I think you can figure that out. Just hang on to it. Just make sure it doesn't slip off and make sure you can check it frequently and make sure it doesn't break.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Good luck.
Take care. Bye. Bye-bye.
I'm not recommending that for everybody. That's only for Julie. We're talking about that. Let's see. This is Tiffany. What's up, Tiffany?
Hey. I've had sex a lot of times and, like, it still hurts. And I want to know why.
Same guy?
Yeah.
Does it hurt right at the time you're starting?
It starts at the time we're starting and at the end, it just hurts all the way through, and it's like for him, I do it, you know, because you know he likes it, and you know I want to make him happy, but like I just don't like it.
Then don't do it, Tiffany. I think it's more than anything, your body's just telling you not something you really want to be doing right now. It's not an act that you engage in to make somebody else happy. It's something mm-hmm. you do as you share with somebody else because you are really interested in it and you feel very comfortable doing it. But if you feel the least bit uncomfortable, your body will let you know.
Well, it's not like I'm uncomfortable with him. It's just, it's like...
I don't mean uncomfortable with him. I just mean not really into the act.
Yeah.
It's something you have to be enthusiastic about for all the biology to work.
So will it end up, like, feeling better? Because, like, all my friends are like, oh, yeah, it feels great. Like, what's wrong with you? And I'm like, I don't know.
Well, most commonly, it's a spasm of the muscles around the vagina there that causes... You know, when things are not relaxed, things kind of tighten down there. And at the point of penetration, it can really hurt and be irritating. Also, if you don't lubricate normally, are you on birth control?
Yes.
What are you taking?
Orthol or something like that. I think it's Orthol.
Ortho what?
Orthol low? Orthol menial low or something like that. I don't know. Orthol something.
Right. Well, the low-dose pills can have an excess of progesterone that can kind of dry you out, and that can make it uncomfortable too. So there's a number of things here that's sort of adding up to say, maybe you shouldn't be doing this. You're young. You're 16. How old's this guy?
He's 16.
Yeah. I mean, you really feel you're ready to be doing this?
Well, we've been together for a while, and we've talked about it, and we're protected, and we make sure, and, you know, we get tested for, you know, HIV all the time, and, you know, but it for some reason it still hurts, and I don't know why.
Well, I think I just gave you an explanation why. And
yeah.
That's, I think, what you need to do, maybe slow up a little bit and maybe wait a little while. That'd be my basic recommendation. Christina.
Hi. I have a question. And in my family, women tend to go for not really good guys for them. And I'm afraid I'm seeing that pattern in myself. even though I'm really young, and it's not really anything bad at all. But
well, it's not so much that you inherited some tendency from your mom. It's that your dad was a bad guy. And as I've said repeatedly on this show, that the people that cause us unpleasant feelings and terror in childhood become immensely attractive in young adult life.
How do you
so, what's that?
How can you fix that? Like, how do I?
Well, you can either try to go for guys that aren't so exciting and so attractive to you, because every time you're super... every time you're super attractive to a guy, it's going to be a bad guy. You can be an abandoning, neglectful, bad guy. Yeah. That's what you're attracted to. Now, if you can find a guy that you're sort of not quite as over the top with, but kind of attracted to, and well, and
I did, but like, it's not working out, because every time we had absolutely no problems, and I started creating problems. Not as I started creating problems.
Right. That's the point. If you let me finish what I was going to say, is that the guys you if you can tolerate being with, in a relationship with a guy who's a good guy, who's the guy you should be with, sort of thing, you'll sabotage those. You'll cheat. You heard that caller about half an hour ago who was cheating on, she was with a good guy, but it was carrying on and taking money from another guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's ridiculous. If you can't do that, then that's therapy. It's pretty simple.
All right.
You do it or you can't. And if you can't, that's time to get some work done on this, because you or else you're just going to continue that pattern that your female relatives have set. You're going to keep on in that cycle. The circle of life will keep on. Is that what you want to do?
Yeah. I do want to be good. That's
right.
Why I'm calling.
All right. Fair enough. So get some help with that then, okay?
All right. Thank you very much.
Here's another question from online. Are there any resources available for men dating survivors of sexual abuse? My girlfriend was victimized at a young age and then for a prolonged period of time later in life. Since then, she is mostly healthy, but still suffers from dissociative identity disorder. Fantastic. She's the fourth sexual abuse survivor I've dated, and I have to wonder if I attract women who've been victimized, or more importantly, you're attracted to them. Suggests that maybe somebody important in his life growing up had this same thing, and he just got used to it. That's what he's in love with. That's what he feels connected to. And no, I'm not aware of any sort of standard resources for men that are attracted to this type of woman, except to say, boy, keep it simple. What we do normally in treatment is get people involved in Al-Anon. So you've got support, you've got people, because the people that have been sexually abused, particularly with dissociative identity disorder, which means multiple personality disorder, will spin you around. I mean, you will get spun. You will not know which way is up, which way is down half the time. And having like a sponsor in Al-Anon, that sort of thing, is kind of how we deal with it commonly. So you can go talk to that person and kind of bounce off of them what you've been experiencing. It's a way of sort of reality testing, because you can't really tell what's going on when you're in the midst of that relationship. Therapists would also be able to do the same thing. But I don't know of any sort of online resources. I certainly know books you can read about it. Because a lot of these things, it's not things you can read about. These are experiential processes that need to be kind of dealt with in that way. You need to be able to step out of that relationship experience and into another relationship with somebody else who can help reflect for you upon what you're experiencing in the relationship. All right, it's time for another break. This is Loveline. We'll be right back.
If you need help,
call Loveline, 1-800-LOVE-191.
That about does it for another episode of Loveline. Here's what's coming up. Danny Bonaducci tomorrow, Christian Finnegan from Best Week Ever, then Fred Goss from the new show Sons and Daughter, a couple nights with Carson Daly after that, then Gregory Itzen, president from 24, Foo Fighters, Hawthorne Heights, Seth Green, Howie Mandel, all that coming up over the next couple of weeks. So be sure to tune back in tomorrow night and listen to all those great upcoming guests. Until that time, this is Dr. Drew saying good night and stay well.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Annie Golden. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.